Hello there. Hi, my name is Mick Napier, and we are doing our weekly broadcast from the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign. And it's a fantastic pleasure today to be interviewing Khalida Jarar from the Adamir office in Ramallah in Palestine. Khalida, welcome.
Well, thank you.
It would be a pleasure any time, but it's especially important because of the beginning of the Palestinian prisoners' hunger strike. So Khalida is very well known. She's a prominent member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. She is the prisoners, she's responsible for prisoners' welfare on the Palestinian Legislative Council. She's a well-known feminist and fighter for women's rights. And she has just been released from the latest imprisonment by the Israeli military authorities. Khalida, how long were you in prison last time? What were you charged with? And what can I say? Welcome out and tell us about your last imprisonment, if you would.
First of all, I would like to thank you and to give me this opportunity of talking a little bit about the Palestinian political prisoners issue. And thank you for all the solidarity groups who support the Palestinian political prisoners. I was arrested under something called administrative detention, which is an arbitrary arrest for 20 months. And I don't know why I was arrested. They claim that there is a secret file, and each time when there is a court, they said that on the secret file, I can't know what's on the secret file. Also, my lawyer don't know what's including in my secret file. This is why we call the administrative detention is an arbitrary arrest. They arrested me first for 6 months. Before it was finished, they renewed it for another 6 months, and then for 4 months, and before it was finished, also for another 4 months. This arbitrary arrest, it's part of the occupation policy to put people inside prison without any charge. And it's related to the emergency law from the British mandate, and later on it become as part of the Israeli military laws in 1979 that they can hold any Palestinian, either men, women, child, under this kind of arrest. I was released on 28th of February. It's February, after, as I told you, spending 20 months on this kind of arrest.
So it's another
part of, there is around 300 at this moment, more than 350 Palestinian political prisoner, approximately, and it's an approximate number. And I leave after me one woman under this kind, under administrative detention.
So it's another poison gift from the British to the people of Palestine. They gave Palestine to the Zionists, and they gave them this horrible law to arrest you without trial. Khalida, I'm looking at some reports here by Adamir and also by Amnesty. If I can give Amnesty first, it says, they say torture and other ill treatment of detainees, including children, is pervasive and was committed with impunity. Adamir give numbers for prisoners, 218 who have died in custody, nearly 478 who were murdered, 60 killed due to medical negligence, allowing them to be sick and die. And they say 73 Palestinian prisoners died as a result of torture. The ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, is supposed to protect prisoners. Why don't they protect Palestinian prisoners from this regime?
This is part of our criticize always to the ICRC. Maybe you know that after Oslo Agreement, they reduce and they change somehow the mandate of the ICRC. The mandate, it's supposed to be to protect the civilian under occupation according to the Fourth Geneva Convention. And it's a clear mandate how to protect the civilian under the occupation according to the international humanitarian law. After Oslo Agreement, this mandate somehow, it's changed. We feel that it's changed. They didn't announce that it was changed. Why? Because any prisoners who were arrested, there is some kind of agreement between the prison service and the Red Cross that they can't visit anyone before 14 days of his or her arrest. During this 14 days at the beginning of the arrest, it's the time that it should be monitored from the Red Cross, monitor of not using the torture. So we feel that this is one of the problem of the mechanism of protection from the ICRC. This is why we find many Palestinian who were at the first moment of their arrest, they were beaten, they were tortured by the soldier before they reached the interrogation center or the centers that they held until they went to the prison. So this is part of our criticize to the Red Cross, and we hope that this will affect, because also they are responsible for the family visit. Thousands of Palestinian political prisoners are forbidden to visit their to receive a family visit. Prisoners from Gaza Strip till today, some of them reach family visit, but the majority of the prisoners from Gaza Strip are not receiving family visit. And the majority also in the West Bank are not allowed to be to visit because for something called secret file or security secret file to families sometimes to mother or father who is over than 80 years old. So what kind of threat? But it's like collective punishment from our point of view. It's like some way of collective punishment for the people, for the prisoners and their families.
So we have mass murder in Gaza, we have shooting to kill across the West Bank, we have brutality towards the prisoners, denial of basic rights. Can I go to a particular horrible accusation that was made recently, Khalida, by an Israeli professor, Shalhoub Kevorkian, and he reported a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago today, that the Israeli occupation authorities have issued permits to large pharmaceutical companies to carry out, to use Palestinian prisoners to test these drugs. Do you, have you heard about this? And can we take this as a, you know, is this something that surprises you?
Sorry to say that I didn't go on details. Yani this is so maybe I have no full information about this issue. Yani I was shocked when you talk about it. So I prefer not to to talk before I read the report and try to check the information on that report.
Sure. Now that's obviously it's a very serious allegation. Can we ask you? Could we get back to Ademir later, and after you've researched it, we could maybe share your opinion with with the viewers.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Another point, Khalida, is the timing of the current prisoner strike. It's a brutal situation. We have people here in Scotland who were prisoners. Palestinians who were prisoners, they tell us what's happened, we know something, and it's always pretty horrible. But what I'm hearing from Ademir and others is that, quote unquote, months of serious deterioration of conditions, the prisoners have started an open hunger strike. why the timing now? Situation is always bad. How has it been deteriorating and why? Is it to do with Israeli elite politics?
The hunger strike started 8 days ago. Today it's the eighth day of the hunger strike that around 400 Palestinian political prisoners started it. The question of why at this moment, because 6 months ago, Ardan, the Israeli minister of interior, he decided to squeeze the prisoners and to use all kind of punishing them. So he established a committee called Ardan Committee, and this committee started to visit the prisons and decide to take a new steps of how to decrease the rights of the prisoners according to the prison service. For example, Ardan Committee came to the prisons of women. When I was there at Hasharon prison at that moment, they came around last October 2018. They came and they watched that the situation is very good. While the situation is very bad inside the prison, we have no rights. But they discovered that there is no cameras on the yard of the women prisoners. And you know, this is part of the struggle of the women in prison before us, who were in prison long time ago, that one of their demand is to put off the cameras because the woman need to go to the yard to have its special some hours to let the sun go through her hair or her body and to cook outside. So they decide that this is something that it shouldn't be. So they decide to put the cameras on instead of off. So we take an action at that moment. So we decide we are not going to the yard while there is a camera because it's such our specialty as a woman. We want to play sport for 1 hour, for example. How we can play sport while there is a man or a woman, a policeman or policewoman sitting behind the camera watching you. So we have a sitting for 63 days. And then later on at Hasharon prison, we refused to go outside until they took the cameras off. But after 63 days, they used a collective punishment. They held us, all the Palestinian women prisoners, and sent us to another prison called Ad-Damun in a very difficult situation. It's like a collective punishment. Besides that, for the prisoner, also these committees take many decisions to try to reduce the rights of the prisoners, while there is no rights without the struggle inside the prison. So the prisoners decide that if this committee continue taking some of the rights that the prisoners get used to have hunger strike to win these rights. So at this moment, because it's really very bad moment for the prisoners, so they decide to start a hunger strike at this moment. And maybe you have an idea about the demand of this hunger strike. Part of their demand is the situation of the woman, the situation of the children in the prison, and also these machines that affect the radio and maybe these affect the health also of the prisoners, the ill care of the who were injured or who were ill. I mean, a demand that related to the daily life of the Palestinian political prisoners. So the eighth day of the hunger strike, and we'll ask all the people to support the prisoners on their demand, because it's a humanitarian demand.
Can I ask you, I mean, I'm getting questions about what we can do to help. So, but two questions. One, did I read somewhere that one of these ministers said he was going to cut back on the consumption of water for the prisoners, that the prisoners were drinking too much water? I mean, that's disgusting, of course. But no. if we could move on from that, I mean, it's horrific. Can we move on to how important is it for the prisoners in that situation that they are in to know that internationally there is support for them? And if people demonstrate in support in Scotland, will Palestinian prisoners hear about this? Because we want to send a message to them, and we also want to send a message to the Israelis that we are watching you. Yeah. How important would that be, Khalida, for the morale and the feelings of those people in a terrible situation?
Yeah, first of all, about the minister and about the cutting the water, yeah, they are reducing the water. They start of it. They started, yani, while I was at Hashanon prison, we get used to have always hot water for the shower. And we found out that within 3 months that there is no hot water. Some hours we have hot water, but while we are having our shower, there is no hot water. And it's relating to that minister. He think that having hot water and having, and the prisoners use a lot of water. It's really something disgusting because it's one of the basic rights, at least don't interfere in our showers and the time of our showers and how the time we will have our showers as a prisoner. This is why when they move us to the moon prison, for example, the showers, it's outside the room. And for women, it's really, and for men also, it's terrible to have the shower out of your rooms, because you have only 4 hours and not continuous 4 hours. It's cut it 4 hours that you have to go. You are, they allow you to go outside your room. So during these 4 hours, you have to take your shower, because the shower now at Damon, when they us to another prison, it's outside our room. And it's one of the violations of the speciality of when you want to use water. And I think this is part of the policy to reduce water. About the solidarity, yeah, it's very important, the solidarity campaign. And the prisoners, they hear about it. Because when there is demonstrations in Scotland or any events to support prisoners, we hear about it when we was in the prison, either through the TV, because we have a specific, or through the radio, specific, yani, they choose the channels. We can't, as a prisoner, choose the channels, but on the Hebrew news, sometimes on the Palestine official news, we hear on the radio, sometimes we hear also, and through the family visit, we know that there is many supporter, and then there is many people all over the world that support the prisoners. It's very important, at least, to let those people don't think that they are alone, that there's solidarity groups abroad, here and there, that they are supporting them for their freedom and for their demand.
While I'm on that subject, because I wanted to bring this in at the end after giving you enough time to talk about the system, but the key reason for this conversation, Khalida, is what can we do? We don't want to just look at the horror and then say this is terrible. We want to take effective solidarity action. So, for example, would it be useful, do you think, would you advise solidarity groups to adopt particular prisoners, long-term prisoners, women prisoners, child prisoners for kids in school, and try to correspond with them? If we write letters with due care, if we write letters to prisoners, do they have a chance of reaching the prisoners? We can translate into Arabic if necessary. It's not a problem. But would you think this would be a useful contribution to the struggle?
Yeah, I think it's important. And when we was in prison, I got some. We got some letters. Of course, it takes time until we receive it. We didn't receive everything, but when we and when the woman prisoner received a letter from any solidarity people all over the world, it's very very important. Either if it's in English, yani if it's in English, they can translate it inside the prison, or in Arabic, to get any kind of solidarity. It's very important, and we try respond to that letter. I don't know if our letter, yani I get used to send some letters to that I receive, because I think that I receive hundreds of letters, or maybe I get some letters, but it's very important to have this letter. So it's kind of solidarity also, and kind of important way to support Palestinian prisoners.
And would Adamir help to facilitate that? And
Yeah, I think.
Would the, and so the Israelis don't keep every letter, they allow some letters to go through, yeah?
Not every letter, because of course they write the letters coming and going, through monitoring. But the Damir can send you maybe the names of, if you want to write for a woman prisoners, they can send you the name of the Palestinian political prisoners, some of them, and the address of the prison. And you can write there immediately from Scotland, from any part of the world, to that address, to the address.
But we know the Israelis are very inventive in trying to make life difficult for every Palestinian, and of course, especially prisoners. But if we cooperate with comrades at Adamir, it should be possible to do that.
They can help on that.
Great, fantastic. And maybe we could go through you to begin with, or after, at the end, you could send us somebody that we can cooperate with, yeah? Well, you're an elected member of the PLC. Now, I know there's not been elections for a long time, but what would your message, of course, what would your message be to elected representatives in Scotland? We have a parliament here. It's not an independent parliament, but we have a parliament that's quite significant. What would your message be to people who are elected here from somebody who was elected by Palestinians to represent them? What do you want them to do?
Look, yani, we are as a parliamentarian, of course, yani, now there is no PLC function, no, it's not functioning, but when I was arrested twice, I was a member of the parliament and the chairwoman of the prisoners' committee at the parliament. And it's not me alone, there is colleagues, a parliamentarian with us. So is the question, if the Palestinian parliamentarian or any Palestinian activist, Palestinian, who his sound or her sound is representing an occupied people to be in prison. And it's really a shame for those who are defending the defenders of human rights, the defender of the people, to keep silent of that. Yani, can you imagine that? Yani, what they want, they held me in prison for something called secret file. They claim that I'm threatening the security of the Israel. It's a claim, I guess. It's a claim. They want me to keep silent while I am part of a people, Palestinians, who are suffering from the occupation daily, on the daily aspect. At the end, we are representing an occupied people. So we will never give up talking and criticizing and mobilizing the international community and our community to put an end for the occupation first, and second, to implement international law and international humanitarian law. This is my slogan, this is my sound always. And I were arrested because of that. Because, for example, I'm sharing in a solidarity with the Palestinian prisoners. It's a charge. Can you imagine that it's a charge to share on a demonstration supporting the hunger strike of the prisoners, or talking about these issues? So My message is that you should not keep silent. You should raise your voice against this violation and to support the values of the democracy and the values of respecting international law, international humanitarian law, and to take measures and to boycott the occupation for their crimes. Because without taking these measures, they will continue violating, and they didn't listen to anyone. They are ruling the whole world.
So, Khalida, I'm speaking to you from Scotland, and I'm sorry to say that Tony Blair is Scottish. Lord Balfour was Scottish. So we're speaking to you from, you know, a part of the old empire. The criminals, the crimes against the Palestinians were organized from here. And, you know, the British helped to invade Afghanistan and Iraq. And one of the reasons they gave was pretty sick. We, you know, somebody once said that Britain could invade any country because we were Christians and they were not. Now we invade other countries because we are democratic and they are not. But one of the reasons is also, and I'm sorry to say this, it's ugly, but we live in an ugly country. It's the role of women. You know, we invaded Afghanistan because women are not treated very well there. I know it's ridiculous, but you're a woman. You're involved very much in the struggle for Palestinian liberation. Can you say something about the role of women in this struggle? Because it seems to have been quite important, yeah?
Yeah, look, for the Palestinian woman, we have two kinds of struggle, the national struggle and the social struggle also, because we are still, as a woman, struggling against for our national rights as a Palestinian people, but also as a woman, we need our rights. We are struggling against the traditional laws against women, the violence against women, economical struggle also, because there is no equal right for women in our legislation and in everything. So we are facing two kinds of struggle, and we will continue because we believe that without women rule, without dignity, without respecting the rule of women, without put an end for the discrimination against the woman, without justice and real justice and social justice for the woman and the youth and all the Palestinian people, we will not have a democratic at the end, because we are seeking for a secular democratic society. Against the occupation and because we want to liberate our land, and also we are seeking to establish our secular democratic Palestinian state. This is the aim. We believe that it's part of our struggle also as a Palestinian woman.
Khalida, you were jailed under administrative detention. They didn't even try to tell you the charge because there was no charge. Just in Ireland, this was called internment. Yeah, and the British used internment without trial in many, many parts of the world. But I also hear that when Palestinians are taken to the Israeli courts, their military courts, they call them, in Zionist language, they call them the civil administration, but it's military. I hear there's a 99.7% conviction rate. So that anybody who comes to the attention of the soldiers and whom they want to arrest, it's almost automatic that they are convicted. I mean, I don't know of any other example like this. There's maybe North Korea or maybe Burma or somewhere, but this is monstrous. This is an incredible figure, 99.7%. Can you tell us about the feeling, you know, the young people and the people who go through this process?
Look, if you want to talk about the military courts, it's these military courts, where the judge and the prosecutor is a militant, and you are a civilian as a Palestinian, the process of going these, it's injustice, and there is no real court. On the for the administrative detention, can you imagine? By the way, we boycott these courts for more than 1 year as an administrative detainees. Not only me, with other also prisoners, as a kind of why we boycott, because we feel that there is it's not a fair trial. You go to the court, sit there, hear that the prosecutor, who is representative of the Shabak, say that there is a secret file, and then he go with the judge on another room, not in front of the prisoner or not in front of the lawyer, and they discuss and they claim that they show him the secret file, and the judge came, and he decide that either on the same day or 1 week later on that I were convinced of what the secret material included. Can you imagine this way of court? It's injustice. I don't know if it's in any part of the world there is still this kind of arrest. We know that in the international humanitarian law for emergency, you can help some people for some 1 month, for example, or 2 months. But Israel using this kind of arbitrary arrest for 20 months, for 18 months, for more than 1 year, sometimes it reached 2 years, and they release you. And later on, after 1 year or less, they re-arrest Palestinians another time. And there is some prisoners who spend 8 and 10 years on this kind of arrest. Not continuously, but they arrested 2 years, they go back for 6 months, release island. After 6 months, they re-arrested them for something called secret file. And you go through this circle. So it's unfair trial, and there is no justice on the military courts just because you are Palestinian. So you should be in prison.
There's a Russian proverb that a fish rots from the head. We see, for example, Avigdor Lieberman once offered, when he was Minister of Transport, to provide buses to take Palestinians to be killed, Palestinian prisoners. We see the Minister for Culture, I forget her name, using openly genocidal language. I mean, extreme racism is now acceptable in the Israeli Knesset. How does this filter? This must filter down from the top to the attitude of the guards and the people in the prisons. They must feel that they can do almost anything. Is this? Can you comment on that, Khalida?
Can you imagine when we hear these words while I was in prison and also when I was released? I really have this kind of answer. How the international community keeps silent against politicians who say these words in public? Really, it's something that I was shocked. How comes that these are ministers and parliamentarians using these racist words, using these criminals' words? It's like when you say that, let them die. Who comes? It's a criminal. Mm-hmm. And these are politicians. It's not a public people. It's the politicians who say that. And I don't hear any reflection of this kind of words. So this, why we somehow upset these international community who are claiming that they are respecting democracy and the human rights, and they are seeking for that. How comes that they are keep silent against people who are saying these words against humanity?
But can I just add, now they're not keeping silent. Donald Trump has just said that if the International Criminal Court, which in the past has been weak. If they try to take Israel to the criminal court, then he will attack the criminal court. So I think he's openly declaring the USA as a bandit state who will not fight the sheriff, but will attack the sheriff to protect Israel. So this is the international reality, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really something when you hear that, you know, that there is one man or one state ruling all the world and say, I am the empire of the world and you should respect everything. And if this court or that court, how comes that they interfere on the judges, on the courts? It should not be any politician talking to the courts, to the judge. It's really something, it's against any principle of justice. So what's the reaction of the world of that? If the criminal court, which is a very important court, and it was established because there is many criminals against the humanity, they create this kind of courts. So if you want to also interfere on these courts, so where people should go? Really, it's a question. Who should say that this is wrong? To whom? Where to go? What to do? This is a clear question. But we know exactly that these politicians, they should be criticized, and they should know that continue using these kind of words, it should not, the whole world should not keep silent. It should be a reaction. I mean, a reaction, writing columns, criticizing on public, going on the street for demonstration against this kind of discrimination and against the interfering on the criminal international courts. Because without this, which I believe that this is the only maybe way to, or it's one of the important ways to prevent the victims.
Before I ask you, Khalida, before I ask you about the case of Faris Barood, who died recently, somebody's asking, first of all, how important is the prisoner struggle within the Palestinian resistance as a whole? Palestinians must resist or they will be disappeared. But how is the Palestinian prisoner struggle, do Palestinians who are outside prison, do they see this as central? Can you talk about how important that struggle? For example, in Northern Ireland, the prisoner struggle in some ways transformed the political situation for a period of time, because one of the prisoners was elected to Parliament before he died, Bobby Sands. But so we have an idea that sometimes the prisoner struggle is really, really central. What can you comment on this in the Palestinian resistance, the widest possible resistance?
The Palestinian, the prisoners issue is a central issue for the Palestinian people. And we should know that the prisoners issue, it's one of the main issues. I know that there is many violation against the Palestinian people, but still the prisoners issue, it's one of the important issues that all the Palestinians are agreed with. Faris Barood is one of the prisoners that is not getting there is an ill treatment because sometimes they didn't take the prisoners on time to the hospital or doing emergency checking for the prisoners. So on the long time, really, he was died at the end. The problem is that they want to get the kidnap his body. While it should be released, his body, because his family want to do a farewell for these prisoners, but they refuse. And the minister of prisoners go to the court to have his body, but till now the Israeli prison services refuse, or the politician, refuse to give his body. the struggle of the prisoners inside the prison, it's part of the what's called peaceful resistance. Because inside the prison, the only way is to either refuse taking the food or refuse going to the out to the yard for hours maybe or for days, 1 day, 2 days, or to start a hunger strike. This is part of the peaceful, peaceful struggle, resistance inside the prison. And it's important because sometimes you need a demand, you need your rights. And we know that there is on the internal law, it's part of our right. So why they are not giving us our rights? So this is why the prisoner taking the steps. And sometimes when you take these steps, you will be punished. And I remember once we refused to get our meal because they take one of the women and put her on the isolation. So we refused to take the meal until they brought that woman from the isolation. Yani, at the second day, they punish us and they close the room and they don't want us to go outside for 1 day. So we were punished instead of implementing our demands and on that way. Okay. I hope that I can answer your question.
Sure. But I also saw Faris Barood, he died of medical neglect, but I saw his family visits were banned for many years. So for years, he was 28 years, I think, in prison. And for many of those years, he wasn't even allowed a family visit. How common is this? Does this happen a lot? I mean, that seems terrible.
It's happened a lot for people. Faris Barood, you know, he's from Gaza. And the people who's allowed to visit any prisoner, it should be from the first degree of relatives. For example, if you lost your mom or dad and you are not getting married, who will visit you? Or you have no sister, no brother. So this means that no one can come and visit you. And I mean the restriction on the families who have the right to apply for a permit to visit. It's very strict, especially for those people who spend a long time on the prison. So you'll find really hundreds of prisoners, Palestinian political prisoners, who could not receive any family visit because there is he has no mother, his mother died, his father died, he has no brothers, no sisters, or their brothers or sisters are not allowed for security reasons, so they could not receive a family visit. But beside that, as I told you, that one of the demands of the hunger strike is also to allow the family visit, especially the people from Gaza Strip, to go and visit the prisoners in the Israeli prison.
Before my final question, Khalida, is going to be again, what can we do here internationally in support of these prisoners? But somebody, I had a question also, but somebody else is asking, in jail, did you have access to books? Could you study for a degree? Could you study another language, either informally or formally? Or were these facilities completely denied to Palestinians?
Look, we receive books, but not as we like, because each month you can receive 2 books if you are not punished from having books. These books should be not educational books or not a political books, because if it's educational, it's not allowed. If it's a political, it's not allowed. So we got some books, but under regulation and under checking. The education inside the prison, it's not allowed. It's not allowed, it's forbidden. But sometimes we try as a prisoners and as a mechanism of resistance inside to educate. We do it in secret, on our rooms, in rooms. If there is, this is why part of my struggle inside the prison was teaching and educating women for the Tawjihi exam, which is the official exam, to be ready when they will be released to go to the university, because I believe that education for the woman is very important. And also I did something called two courses on international law, international humanitarian law, talking about women's rights, about torture, about international convention and the convention for the children. And then can you imagine that once they want to punish me because I did these courses, when they hear, because I didn't do it in public, you know, like this. But they came and they want to isolate me. And they threaten me, if I'm not stopping educating women, I will be punished. So can you imagine in general. But at the end, I will reply to your question, which is, I believe, is very important for solidarity. Don't think anything that you can do, sending letter, writing a status on the internet, going on the street, sharing a demonstration, sending any letters to Israeli official, for example, who is responsible for the. And there is many methods that you can show your support for the Palestinian political prisoner. It's very important, and it might make some kind of change.
Khalida, I want to say thank you. I'm very aware that I'm speaking to you from the country that gave Palestine to European colonists in 1917. This is the source of the crime. I think we have a special duty, therefore, because Netanyahu and our government are in solidarity. I think we need to build solidarity with the Palestinian people struggling for freedom. Do you think it might be possible at a practical level to organize some kind of discussion with Ademir to discuss how we can help prisoners? We can send books, what we can send, what we cannot send, to get a feel for what's possible. And could I ask you also to make some final remarks about what people should be doing? And I'll thank you once again for talking to us. So final remarks, Khalida, what do you want us to do?
Raise your voice against the violation. Raise your voice for the freedom of the freedom of Palestine, freedom of Palestinian political prisoners. Just we want these voices to be raised. And thank you for everything, all kind of solidarity with the Palestinian people.
No thanks for a duty, I think some Arabic speakers say. But you know, the Irish had a slogan during their boycott. You know, Captain Boycott was Irish. And during the 20th century, the Irish had a slogan, burn everything British except their coal. Well, we can't go as far as that, but we will boycott everything connected to the Israeli state that's the source of your suffering. Thank you again, Khalida. It's an honor to have you speaking.
Thank you. Bye.
Ma salama.
Bye.